Okay, by that final stanza, you got the key change part, right? Starts out foreboding, Jesus saying something, and then it turns bright, including that last line there. I looked to Jesus, and I found in him my star, my son, and in that light of life, I'll walk till traveling days are done. That's what you're saying, and part of what we'll be going through this morning is if you mean that. See, not that you'll be called a liar, but you did sing it, and we're going to be hearing some sayings from others, it appears, as John takes us back to where we left off. It's 1 John, so John's first letter, chapter 1. If you want to return with me in your Bibles, we'll look at the next few verses. We looked at verses 1 through 4 last time, and now verses 5 through 10, stepping back into the proclamation about the word of life. That's how the letter starts, and we hear something about fellowship and how we can have fellowship with God and with each other. That koinonia, the fancy word, the Greek word, the connection, the partnership, the community, and the communion. And that's how we ended last week. We went to the table and had a communion with the Lord. And now here in verses 5 through 10, John is picking up on his message, as you'll see here, and he's developing this thought further. The thinking is advancing, as you would expect in a letter, and he's talking about a walk and lifestyle, if you will. A walk is a lifestyle. And like I mentioned, part of the temptation is, even before I read it, I'll prepare you for this, because there might be some zoned looks where you think, this is pretty simple. Walking in the light, okay, got it. Darkness. It's so familiar that you might tune out. Did you come here to tune out? You didn't come here to do that. But stay dialed in, because apparently there were some people in the midst of this church that were saying things that needed confrontation. So see if you can hear those sayings and the truth in this message that continues this way. Hear the word of the Lord. This is the message we heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Let's pray together. Father, in your word, you do tell us to walk in all of your ways, and you show us the way to go. You show us our need. And so, Lord, in this word today, by your Spirit, we pray that you would shine light on our path and into our lives, because we are asking for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Blackouts have been in the news this week. If you're paying any attention to the news cycle, there are power outages and storms that are related to that. And if you have ever caught yourself in a spot like that, where the lights go out, and this is whatever age you are, that you notice that things can get scary. It may be dangerous, depending on what surrounds you, what the circumstance is when the lights go out. On a small scale here, I'll enact one here. We got light switches back there, and often in the service, people are gone, and I'll head to those lights, and I won't have my phone, my flashlight with me. And so it's dark, and I hit the lights, and I think, I got this. It's about 60 feet, and I veer left, and then I can reach for the handle of this door and then make it to my office where I see the light, right? And usually that goes very well. Sometimes, no. I might hit my shin on a chair, probably this one, on the way to that door. But no big deal, right? Just a little owie, I'll make it. I didn't enjoy it, but I'll make it. On a more consequential scale, I'm recalling a hike I went on with some college friends, and we went into a cave. We had a leader, a guide with us. If you've been in a cave before, you know that the terrain is rough, depending on the cave, but usually it's uneven ground, it's not straight, it's might be some jagged rocks there were here. And so we're walking through this, and it's getting tricky, and then partway through, the leader says, okay, turn off your flashlights. Turn off your flashlights. Okay, so we do. And then it was really dark if you've been in a cave. It's pitch black. The proverbial, you can't see your hand in front of your face. It's true. In a cave, you cannot see the hand in front of your face. You know it's there, but you can't see it. And then the leader wants us to do this. Okay, get out of the cave without your flashlights. Okay, this took a dark turn, not just in the dark, but this seemed unreasonable. So you might ask, what would I do in that case? Would I get out of the cave without a, what is it? Do you panic? Or maybe you protest, say, I'm not going to do that. Or you're going to say, no, I got this. I remember it's about, again, 60 feet to the left with some jagged rocks. No, you might say to your leader, I'm not going to take another step without a light. Do you think I'm that foolish? Do you think I'm going to fall for that by falling for that plan? And so you take your flashlight in the cave and you go click. In John's letter, right here, we enter a scene with a word. It's a word about walking in darkness and about walking in the light. Which one do you want? Which one's wiser? Which one is safer, you could ask? And you might think that the answer to that is so obvious that who wouldn't see the answer here? Everyone sees this. But it turns out not everyone does. There are some people that don't mind bringing up the darkness and want to lead you down a dark path. And that does appear to be what John wishes to expose in verses 5 through 10. He directs a group of his own into this walk, and he wants them to walk in the light. And that's the title for the sermon today. It's also the title in the header of your Bible, probably, the ESV, Walk in the Light. And implicitly, we'll ask and answer a question that at least generally would ask, are you walking in the light? That's something you need to be asking along the way. And if so, what does that even look like? Walking in the light, how could you tell? But more specifically, we'll break it down this way. And what John's doing is he's weaving his message, as he's doing throughout the whole letter. And even in this very section, we'll go up and down. We'll be going through verses 6, 8, and 10 for part. And you think, what's going on here? But try to hang on to this. It's on the face of it, it might look simple. But there's a lot going on. I want to ask two questions. I think the questions are basic, and I think John answers them. What is the light right here? And how do you walk in that light? So what and how? So we'll start with what. What is the light? The short answer, if you were reading along, is pretty simple. It looks like the answer is God. So good Sunday school answer. What is the light? Jesus, that's coming. But God, it's God and his perfections. If you look with me at the second part of verse 5, God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. Again, sounds simple. It's a really deep theological statement. It's a quick summary of his character. He's holy. We've sung of that already today. He is light. So the picture is pointing to his truthfulness, his holiness, his purity, all of those wonderful realities of who God is, what he does, what he says. It's all perfect. It's light. And as John just got done saying, this reality is also seen in a person. And that was from last time, if you were here. Verses 1 through 4. The person is Jesus. Jesus is the light. So it's God in his perfections. It's also God in his person revealed in his son, Jesus. That's from verse 3. So that's a carryover. So light and life, perfect and personal. So there's knowableness here. There's fellowship with this light. You're able to fellowship with the light. And just to point out here, the same author, if you've read John's gospel, a lot of straightforward statements there that John makes. But John, in the opening of his gospel, we also hear in him, this is Jesus, was life. and the life was the light of men. And then he says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And then also in that chapter, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Okay, Merry Christmas. Here's the true light coming into the world in the flesh, the word of life. We saw that last time. Same author here, Jesus himself, later in John's gospel, says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Not a lot of interpretive difficulty with the statement, but here it's related to John's letter. You want to follow me? Well, you're not going to walk in darkness. That's what Jesus, you're going to have the light of life. So here's the word of life and light. So don't be surprised. This is about Jesus. Same author, same truth. From beginning to end, here's the story being told. So what is the light? It's God in his perfections and in his person, his son. It's also this. What is the light? It's John's message. Right here. And you see that verse 5? This is how it starts. This is the message. We have heard from him, Jesus, and proclaimed to you that God is light. There's no darkness, no impurity in him. And then John begins to move that message, this message of theological wonder, in these opening verses, and he's going to put it into the realm of a relationship. He's already started doing this in terms of fellowship, again from last time, that koinonia. So here he's moving forward. We have holy light. That's the Lord, who he is, what he says. That's going to do this, that holy light influences your life. So the theology turns into this practice. And you should always expect that. Theology just doesn't stay stuck in your head. It looks like something. It walks around, and that's what we're seeing, a theology that walks around, and it has to do with light. So this is John's message. This interaction, this of the Lord who is light. So what is the light? It's God. It's also John's message. And then, as I just said, it's also your lifestyle. It's all of this. What is the light? God personally, the message set before you, and the influence it has on your life. You could say this is a light style. Light style, lifestyle, it works. God's children, followers of the light in this world, how do we live? How do we walk? So that's the picture. You're walking around. You're a walking light. You're a light reflector. That's where this is going. The holiness set before you. There's no darkness. And so here's John revisiting this kind of question regarding, it's really morality, and he'll keep talking about obedience, the need for obedience, and ethics, if you will, what that looks like. But right here, in terms of light and walking, really a child can understand this. Light? It's not dark. Walking, that looks like something. And it's a relationship. So it's all very personal. Fellowship. So this is the theological backdrop. It's laid out in verse 5 and really running start from the verses before. So let's ask not only what is the light, we just looked at that, but also how do you walk in this light? This is where we're heading into verses 6 through 10. Biblically, there's a really long answer to this. I hope you can see that how do you walk in the light? It's read your Bible. It's God's will. That's his way. He's showing you. You walk as godly. So if God is light and we're his followers, then that would be godliness. So we walk around in gratitude for his grace. But in the particular flow right here, we'll ask a few follow-up or maybe make them statements here. How do you walk in the light? Walking in the light includes, first of all, walking past falsehood. Walking past falsehood. And this might be, and I've got sub-points here if you try and keep track. They're mostly to help me, too. It's intricate, and that's how I'm going to summarize it. You're walking past falsehood. And let's break that down. The falsehoods are showing up here, first of all, in verse 6. We step in here with our walk. We find what appear to be three claims about fellowship with the light that are false. That's why we want to walk past them. Evidently, claims were being made there in that church that John is writing to. Some of the people, we'll find out later, had left. So they come in, they meddle. If you know anybody like this, they come in and they tinker around, they lie to you, and then they leave. Or some stay in there and still want to fuss around, deceiving and saying things that are false. False teachings, false teachers coming out of into their midst. So it's introduced by the phrase, if we say. That's why I'm going to break it down this way. If you see that phrase, if we say, evidently this group was being, they were saying things to them that John's saying, don't buy it, this is false. Walk past the falsehood. And the first way to walk that you shouldn't do is I'm going to call that the scoff walk. The scoff walk. What does that look like? Verse 6. See it? If we say, we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Okay, so they got the walk. They're walking in the dark. And here's the contrast, the contradiction to light, if you will. There's truth and there's falsehood. It's a lie. Some here, you could call this a walkway. Godly and godless, light and dark. Okay, and here in the context, what the deceivers, and he calls them antichrists, we'll get to that later, but that he's not thinking too highly of these people. And they were saying to God's people a different message that, of course, they wanted them to believe. Something about what fellowship really looks like when it comes to God. And depending on who, I'll say this later, we're not told, I'll have to keep repeating this, we don't know for sure who like the bad guys were in here, the false teachers. But they could have been some early form of Gnostics where this idea that, yeah, the true fellowship and true light, that's experience. It's not really, matter doesn't matter. Behavior doesn't matter. What matters is what you think and feel and how you relate this way. And some people might say, there, that's Reformed people. They're just all up in here. And John's like, no, it's not even that. It's all of this is in relation to the light, and it looks like something. It walks around. So this is where we're going. But here's a lie that's coming at them that he wants to correct and expose. It's not about special insights and secrets. Not just your emotions. Fellowship. It's a practical matter. It's personal. It's not about these distant things. So connect your behavior to the walk. And here's verse 6. This, if you believe that it's something distant, then John's coming after you. What does he say about this? And what does he say about the light, if you really believe this? Among other things, it's saying here that purity and holiness, that doesn't really, we don't care about darkness and disobedience. Can you imagine someone saying that? And so John's saying, that's a lie. And I realize I'm talking this, it might sound really obvious to you, so good, if the Spirit's already made it clear. Who would even talk like this? Who would, you know, someone comes into the church and says stuff like this, and this is only the first of three. You might be thinking, I'm not going to follow that. Well, good. But it's a warning here. Walking in darkness is not okay with holy light fellowship, making a mockery of purity and perfections of God. And so that's why I'm summarizing this first one as a scoff walk, because scoffing means you scorn it. You have contempt for something, in this case for God, and his word, for his light. So anyone tries to tell you by saying, oh, you can walk in contempt of God's light, they're lying. Not practicing the truth, verse 6, you need to walk past them. So that's the first one. And then walking in the light involves walking past what we will call the skywalk or the skywalker. Someone that's walking, in this case, walking above sin. So here's sin, if there is such a thing, and they're just above it. They're above the law. What would that even look like? This is a teaching that can invade the presence of God's people. And it says that breaking God's law is no big deal. Look at me at verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. See, again, real straightforward, truth and lies. It's straight in the face here about how God's people are called to live and to fellowship. John doesn't state, again, who exactly these people are, but I think you can see that there's something very distinct about the way they're looking at sin. Even in the second saying, these false teachers in their midst, some might have been saying, hey, we've already gotten there. We are sinless. We have reached this. Have you ever met someone like this? This might sound crazy. Someone's saying, I'm already perfect. I've arrived. I said, wow, that's pretty bold. I'm going to watch your life. Go ahead. And we'll see if there's sin. That's if you're taking sin seriously. If you can see this, John is going to keep talking about sin in his letter. You don't want the lie of the skywalk. If you peek ahead a little bit, this isn't cheating. If you see the In chapter 2, he's going to keep talking about sin. So he's going somewhere with this. And you don't want to live this way because they deceive themselves, verse 8. The truth is not in them. Now, a modern version of this can look a lot of different ways, this falsehood. And it's hard. I think in my lifetime, I don't want to sound like, you know, I'm too old, but some of you might relate with this. There was a time when I assumed, like in evangelism or doing campus ministry, that people know they're sinners, and part of the conversation will include that, because you trust that the Holy Spirit will expose that and just, you know, prick their heart and think I need to leave the darkness and turn to the light, or repent and believe the gospel is where this is going. And yet more and more you might find that people, they're a little confused by the whole idea. Sin, so what happened? If you are someone like that, if you've met someone like that, talking about sin, like what's even John doing here? Isn't that ancient, old book, old time religion stuff? And people really look at that and say, my standard isn't in a book. It's not written down somewhere with dust on it. I decide what's good and not good. They might not use the word sin because that doesn't sound right to them. And then sin nature, you know, like the evening service, we'll be talking about your sin nature and born in sin. And people, no, that just doesn't sound right. It doesn't apply to me. That must be that God and stuff. Who would say such a thing? Well, it turns out verse 8 is saying the self-deceived. There's no truth in them. There's no light. And it's always true that the Holy Spirit must come and shine that light and show the fellowship with him that looks like something. And it looks like light. Light walking around in the lives of his people who, among other things, have a clue about the subject of sin, the reality of sin. And that's why I want to look at a third walkway that we'll call this. And you need to walk past this one. It's the shrug walk. So you've got the scoff walk, that's verse 6, and the sky walk, you're above it. And now there's a way that views sin with a shrug. It looks at sin, if there is such a thing, okay. What does that look like? Here's the effect. It's pretty much in line with the other false walkways, verse 10. If we say, or like they were saying, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Lies and falsehood. There it is again. No word of truth in that teaching. And maybe you notice there's a distinction here. Verse 8, the liars are saying, we have no sin. And then here, what's the turn? Verse 10, they say, we have not sinned. We have not sinned. And what does that do? That makes God a liar. Why is God a liar? Because God says all have sinned and fall short of his glory. So here's the light. You've all sinned. He said, no, that's not us. That's a lie. We walk in the light. How could anyone shrug at what God says about sin? Who could care less about that? By now, you may be aware that Reformed liturgy, that's how we worship, includes a time where deliberately we pause. I mean, one of the line item events of the worship service is to confess our sin. You know that, right? No surprise. Every week, you're not alarmed when I invite you to confess your sin. You hear God's light, his law, and you say, I've fallen short. I will now confess that. And we do that consciously. We do it corporately even. I fell short. And we say so. We say it to God. We say it to ourselves. I've sinned. And so is that so hard to say and to see, for at least for children of light? And that makes it all the more odd, it seems to me, that it seems many churches find it easy, perhaps correct even, to pass on talk of sin. And I don't want to, I'm not really wanting to beat someone up. Maybe I'm pleading, asking, how does this work? Is it really right-headed to leave sin out of the conversation, the worship to a holy God? Now, the reasons could be plentiful. They might think, well, that's too absolute. Everyone's got their own truth. So we shouldn't call anything sin. That's one way of looking at it. Or, and this may be the front runner, is it sounds judgmental. It sounds like we're saying, you did something wrong this week. You know why we say that? Because you did. And it wasn't just wrong, it's sin. It's a violation of God's revealed will. And John will keep talking about this in this letter. So we talk about sin. It's part of the worship. And I guess I could ask it this way. If there's no such thing as sin, if there's no sin as being said in this church at that time, apparently, if there's no problem with sinning, why do you need a Savior? And maybe more to the point here, why would you even come here today? Seriously, if sin isn't really a thing, you wouldn't confess it, and you don't need a Savior, and you don't need to worship Him, because you're all good. And that's not good news, because it's false. You are not good until Jesus makes you good. You are not righteous until Jesus makes you righteous. You're not forgiven until Jesus forgives you. So anyone who says any of these things, scoff, skywalk, shrug walk, verses 6, 8, and 10, denying sin with pride, with contempt, making excuses, getting all indifferent about sin with a shrug, you're not walking in the light. And John's weaving this warning into the walkways. This is what's happening here. There's a teaching and there's a trap. There's jagged rocks in the dark that he wants to expose in his letter. He's saying is, yeah, we need to walk in the light. We need to walk past the falsehoods, whatever they are in our day as well. Reject them. Embrace the truths that he teaches positively. And that's how we'll end today with verses 7 and 9. This is the not just end on a happy note, but to expose as he weaves us in, we'll look now at the walk, the real light, the real life that is, these are happy realities, walking in the light. How do you walk this way? First, by walking past the falsehoods, verses 6, 8, and 10, and now by walking in fellowship. So past falsehoods, in fellowship. Fellowship, and since we got a good running start at that last time, I won't review that much here. This is a walkway. It started in verse 3. You can glance up at that, where John features the truth, really the joy. You have fellowship with God and with each other. That's quite a message in itself. You can have fellowship with God. Joined to the Lord, the word of life. And now here, verse 7, he's advancing, he's putting an accent on that teaching in terms of light and walking. So watch this, verse 7. But, now why is there a but there? As opposed to the liars, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And, get this, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, I don't peek over your shoulder when you're reading your Bible, so I don't know how you do it. The Holy Spirit does. When I look at this, I could ask, well, what just happened? Not just the verse 6, 8, and 10. Why is it all? John's bringing things together. This is really one breath, one verse right here. Big biblical themes going on. Light and life and walk that's supposed to go with what? The fellowship. This is where we've been. Again, light reflectors in a dark world, walking around, shining the light of Jesus, who is the light of the world, the life, following his lead. So there it is. We're moving in fellowship, walking in the light with one another, communion, community. So if and when, as we see here, if you walk in the light, then good things happen. This is the fellowship part. So verse 3 and verse 7, you see it there? It's all verse 7. And he connects blood. He mentions blood right here. That's another big biblical theme. Blood, traced from Genesis to the end, and where blood shows up. And here's the blood of Jesus, of course, and it's connected with the word sin. So here's this big picture theme. John's really rolling here. He's barely begun his letter. Biblical themes, walking in light, fellowship, in verse 7, the truth that the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And right there, and I could develop it right there, but I want John to develop it with his with verse 9. So this will be the final point for today. Verse 9, he keeps talking about sin, in terms of cleansing and now confessing. And this too, I hope you see, helps us answer the question, are you walking in the light? Because if you are, then, what, you remember this, you're walking past falsehoods. Someone comes in and starts saying, no, sin, no big deal. This sin's like this. You're too judgmental. And you say, no, that doesn't sound right. So I walk past that, and then I walk in the fellowship in the light. I walk in the light of the Lord's holiness. And this is how we'll end. We walk as forgiven. Now, just take a breath. You can sigh right there. This is how you walk as forgiven. This is part of walking in the light. So look with me at verse 9. And maybe you've heard this verse before. Maybe you haven't memorized. I'll ask you if you believe it. This is more straight talk about sin. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You've heard that before. That's good news. And I want you to see where that statement drops, where it lands in the message John is giving right now. His message is declaring that God is light, verse 5, right? In him there's no darkness at all. And it's followed by these false claims about sin and about how to walk, right? This is where John speaks of confession and cleansing, right here. It looks like he wants to underscore something. Part of walking in the light involves how you understand sin. If you don't get sin right, the nature of sin, the effects of sin, where it leads you, how to leave it, those kinds of realities. Again, the next chapter will pick up on this. More to say about sin. But right here, the news drops. Really, the news doesn't just drop, it pops. And here it is about sins getting cleansed. The sins are getting dealt with, they're getting done away with, forgiven, making way for true fellowship, this freedom to walk in the light. So here's the light of the Holy God, his perfections, his presence. God is light, verse 5. He's also faithful and just, verse 9. And that's practically one word. If you like hyphens, faithful and just. Faithful and just. So much going on there. So the Lord's faithful to himself. He makes a promise to the penitent. You come to me, I will forgive you. Come to Jesus, justice will be done. We've heard that already in the catechism today. In terms of descending into hell, Jesus satisfied justice at the cross. And that's where we confess here the blood. The blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sins, verse 7. See that? It all fits together. So light, fellowship, forgiveness, revealed and made real in Jesus. Again, the truths are so familiar, you might be thinking, yeah, can we just go to the next chapter and talk about the sin part? Because I'm really curious about how to deal with sin. Good. I hope you're curious, and I hope you already are seeing that John, right out of the blocks, is saying, word of life, walk in the light, you can be clean. You can be clean. You are clean in Jesus because he says so. And I want you to see also where confession fits into the flow here. See the word confess? If we confess, it's practically assumed. Here's the light walker. You're walking in the light. This is what you do. This is what you do. You confess. You don't get all bummed out when someone wants you to confess like a little kid. Who's, I'm sorry. No, you're not sorry. You understand what just happened in the relationship. You understand light and darkness, and you want to say so. These people are saying this. I need to say this. Lord, I have sinned against you. Will you forgive me? And what's the answer? What are we confessing? What does a sinner do? Lord, I'm a sinner by nature. That's good theology. I'm born in sin, so inwardly it's a problem. I understand that. I confess it. I sin by practice. I sinned this week. I admit it. I agree with what you've already said in your word about sin, and I need your cleansing. I need your restoration to the light. I need that warm fellowship restored because sin got in the way of it. We see this in human relationships. If there's a rift, if there's, you know, whether it's an actual sin where you disobeyed God or you had a misunderstanding, it's not just a misunderstanding. There's something where you need to go and confess because you mean it. It isn't... I want to emphasize it. Notice that confession here don't know if you think in these terms. The confession, I think as a kid I'm reading this, how did I read this? If we confess our sins, so if we don't, does that... And you can walk away thinking that confession is what takes away your sin. Is that what this verse is saying? Maybe you don't even think in those terms. But I want to bring it up because because unbelievers can do this. Unbelievers can go confess something and unburden themselves. Have you noticed that? Just turning yourself in, you say, yeah, I did this thing, you know, sorry. And you feel better because you said you're sorry. Right? Again, I want to point out, unbelievers do that. And so do believers, but that's not what's happening here. It's not just unburdened. It's the burden is leaving you and it's going on to Jesus. And that's why you're forgiven. The confession, I mean, it's part of the dynamic, but it's not the reason you're forgiven. Forgiveness is real. It's something settled at the cross. Of course you forgive. You forgive others, and here as we're saying, of course you confess. It's what walking in the light looks like. I want to confess my sins because they're sins. Specific sins. I'll give them names. You say, I gossiped this week. I lust this week. Right? You say these things. You say, I have anger issues. Not just issues. I have specific anger moments that I'm asking for forgiveness from God and maybe another human. Or how about this? You could say, I rolled my eyes at my mom this week, and she didn't see me, but God did. And I want to confess that to him and maybe to her. Or you might think, well, you know what? This last week, I kind of purposefully moved a digit on my taxes. Oops. Not just oops. That would be a sin. And there are things you do about sin, and the letter will keep dealing with this. But here it's, you confess it, and then what follows? You're seeking this restoration. I don't want to walk in the darkness. I want to walk in the light. The light, I want the light to expose darkness in my life, in my path. I want the room to light up. I want to walk in the light. You turn on the light, and the rodents run. Why? Why do rodents run when the lights are on? Because they don't want you to see them. Isn't that how this works? And when sin is exposed, there's a revealing that might expose in a hurtful way because it's conviction for the believer walking in the light saying, I sinned. I will confess this as sin. I want to walk in the light. And the Lord forgives. Yes, you wrestle with sin, and you might want to cover up your sin, deny sin like some were saying here. You might even want to run from God when you sin. But check this out. God already saw it. You can't run from him. He saw the sin. He saw you roll your eyes. And he wants to restore you as his child. You're joined to Jesus, and he's faithful and just, one word really, to forgive, to cleanse from all unrighteousness. Which, in effect, if that happens, if you're cleansed from all unrighteousness, you know what that adds up to? It means that you're righteous. All of the un is taken away, and now you're righteous. That's what Jesus does. This is a true confession. These are true confessions. This is how they work. In your walk, day by day, part of walking in the light, I look forward to coming clean, confessing sin, laying it all out there with repentance and sorrow and trust, laying all my sin on Jesus, who is faithful and just to forgive those sins and cleanse you, and it's Jesus who is the light.